I'd like to welcome everyone to the Second Court of Appeals. I say everyone, there's three of you, but I'd like to welcome the three of you to the Second Court of Appeals. Thank you for appearing here today to argue the case. Before we begin, I want to introduce the panel to you. To my left is Justice Elizabeth Kerr. To my right is Justice Bill Meyer.
Morning.
And I'm Chief Justice Bonnie Sutterth. I understand that the attorneys have all checked in and everyone is ready. So before we begin, would the clerk please call the case?
The court will now call International Governor Services LLC versus Scott Reddy, Ross Newton, and may I please report Mr. Ray Mariani to argue for the appellant, Mr. Justin Green to argue for the appellant.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, good morning. I'd like to address some of the critical relevant facts with the court, please. The court will recall that appellant IGS is a single location repair station licensed by the FAA in Denver, Colorado. It performs aircraft component repairs there. Importantly, IGS is a limited liability corporation, LLC, that is licensed only to do business in the state of Colorado, and it is overseen only in Colorado by the Federal Aviation Administration.
But half of its business involves Texas customers, correct?
Approximately half, correct, Your Honor, relates to customers in the state of Texas. That is a true statement. Colorado has been the only place of work historically for IGS. That's the only place where it's done its business from. All of its salespeople are located in Colorado. Those salespeople in Colorado enter into contracts with customers without authority from anyone else. They set the prices for the work that they perform in Colorado without any input from anyone else. The person who runs the company, the general manager, on a day-to-day basis of that company, he is present only in the state of Colorado in that single shop. All of the mechanics and maintenance people who perform the work do so exclusively in the Colorado shop. And again, the FAA, which has the responsibility to license and oversee this shop, does so only from its Denver office. IGS chose to have titles for certain persons. It's a limited liability corporation. And so the company has certain titles. In this instance, they've used titles that are similar to a corporation. And so they have created eight, quote, officers, and they've assigned them traditional titles that one might see in a corporation, such as president, vice president, treasurer, etc. As the record reflects, all of these officers have equal authority in the company. They can each bind the company, sign contracts. That's all reflected in the record. There's only one distinction between the eight officers. Before I finish that thought, importantly, so five of the eight officers are located in Texas as of June of 2016. That's the only evidence in the record, is as of that moment in time, five of the eight were located in Texas. Three of the eight were located in the state of Florida. There is no other evidence in the record with regard to historically where these officers are located, other than there is one citation in the record that references that the president at one time was located in the state of Florida. With regard to the input and authority of these officers on a day-to-day basis, it is essentially nothing, and that's been made clear from the record. The president does not set the corporate policy of the company. The vice president of sales, quote, has no responsibility for sales at the company. The persons who are listed as the officers on their LinkedIn profiles in the record, none of them, other than the president, even mentions IGS as part of their responsibilities, because all of them have full-time positions working for other corporations. The one item that has been the centerpiece of the appellee's position with regard to these officers and the Texas connection is a single quotation that I'll read to the court, please, from page 208 of the record. It was a single deposition question where counsel for appellees asked about one specific sentence in the document at a record 241 that authorizes these officers to act. And the question is, quote, "And counsel asked you about this power of attorney provision. What's your understanding of what that means, that the president, vice president, and treasurer are the only ones who can execute power of attorney on behalf of IGS? The answer from Ms. Dunn, the witness, was, quote, "They can, hyphen, the power of attorney. They have ultimate decision-making power," close quote. So the entire appellee argument with regard to these officers having some responsibility or authority over this company rests entirely on that one sentence. Conversely, as I've already noted, the record is replete with other facts that reflect that these officers have essentially no input into the operation of this company. It's run exclusively from the Colorado office. That's the way it has always been. The connection of IGS with the state of Texas with regard to this specific helicopter accident is extremely limited. A fuel pump that was overhauled by IGS in the year 2009 was found on the accident helicopter when the crash occurred in the state of Tennessee in 2016. IGS received this pump from a Texas customer and it shipped it back to the Texas customer. The Texas customer then installed the pump in Tennessee with the end user. So plaintiff's allegation in this case, their only connection between this pump and Texas is one single shipment of that pump from Colorado to Texas, where then the end user was ultimately in Tennessee.
That transaction, counsel, was that that was a part of the business that was handled in Dallas, Texas by the sister company of IGS.
That is a true statement, Your Honor. Dallas Air Motive is a sister company, and in that instance, the transaction was between those two companies.
And in terms of the business in Texas, I'm talking now about the quantity of business. There's often stated in the records 50% or less, just maybe 40% of IGS's business originates in Texas. All of that through the sister company?
Not exclusively, Your Honor. The very vast majority of the Texas business is, but the record reflects that there is business in Texas with other customers as well.
And so IGS has chosen to do business in Texas with numerous customers, sometimes through its sister company, but sometimes not, in terms of its contacts and the flow of business for the company.
That is a true statement indeed, Your Honor. I agree with you.
All right. Thank
yes,
you.
Indeed. I'll proceed to, with regard to general jurisdiction that is alleged here, using the tests and what has been set down in the Daimler case from the Supreme Court, as well as the Searcy case, we're looking for affiliations that are so continuous and systematic as to render the company essentially at home in the forum state. IGS cannot be considered essentially at home in our state of Texas. It is a lifelong business in Colorado. That is where all of its work is done. It's systematically done there because the FAA oversees the work there. It's continuous because that's been for the duration of the company. Conversely, the record reflects only that the officers, certain officers of the company, five of the eight, happened to be here in Texas within a few months before the complaint was filed in the year 2016. That is it for the record in terms of, with regard to general jurisdiction and the connection of IGS to Texas.
Well, what would happen to IGS if it lost that all the Texas business?
In terms
all
of
the Texas business that they do, what would happen to the company and its financial health?
Don't know the answer, Your Honor. It would continue to exist with lesser revenues, certainly, but then perhaps they would make up those revenues from other places. The record shows they do have business in, I think, virtually all the states throughout the U.S., as well as some international business. So they have a very widespread portfolio of business. They don't rely exclusively on Texas for their business.
But they rely on Texas for almost 50% of their income.
That is a true statement, Your Honor. However, that does not make the company essentially at home in Texas. Otherwise, as we know from the Daimler case and Searcy, then just looking at where companies happen to send a lot of their products would make them subject to jurisdiction in those locations. But that is not the test, as we know, that was laid down in those cases.
Counsel, you're addressing the Colorado aspect of this business, and you said just now that virtually all of the company's business is done in terms of the actual repair or rehabilitation of parts in the facility in Colorado. But that business is dedicated to perhaps the physical work of either assembling or revising or redoing parts. Is that the aspect of the Colorado business that you're talking about?
That's the entire business. It's not virtually all. It is all. 100% of their business is repairing, overhauling, and maintaining aircraft components. 100% of that occurs in Broomfield, Colorado. That's, pardon me, Your Honor, it's been that way since the company was founded.
I'm having trouble dividing up if all of the actual physical work on that part of the business is done in Colorado. Then the other part of the business is the obtaining of the orders for that kind of work that's being done in Colorado and all of the other places where the company does business.
Well,
so how do you divide the business of the company, if you use that phrase, from this solicitation for the business, the contracting for the business, the contacts with the customer, that's 50% in Texas? How do you divide that out when you say the business of the company is done entirely in Colorado?
Well, because that side of the house, Your Honor, the sales side of the house, again, exists exclusively in Colorado. Ms. Dunn, who was deposed, she's the head of sales. She sets the prices on contracts. Her sales team is in Colorado. People in Texas have nothing to do with the operation of this business. There is no contest in the record on these facts. There are no other facts presented by Appalese that any of the people who are listed as, quote, officers, quote, of this LLC have anything to do with running this business. As the court knows, the LLC could have no officers if it wished, and just the sole member of this LLC, there's only one member, could choose to run the LLC itself.
Yep.
There's nothing in the record that reflects any responsibility or any undertakings by any of these officers, either the Florida or the Texas ones.
So I understand it, when your client was initially sued in Florida, where the sole member is, what exactly was the ground for saying that you couldn't be sued in Florida?
There was a motion to dismiss at that time. I believe it was a motion to dismiss. It was filed. And the basis there was that the principal place of business of this company is in Colorado.
Okay, and so the fact that the sole member was in Florida was legally of no import?
That would have significance only if the court were to try, which we do not support, only if, and the appellees are trying to do, which would be to apply diversity principles for jurisdiction to personal jurisdiction. That does not make sense because of the way that the two bases for jurisdiction have evolved. They have entirely different underlying principles. Therefore, we cannot carry over the principles of diversity when looking at corporations and unincorporated associations, such as IGS, over to personal jurisdiction. So that's the only place, Your Honor, where that would have an application. As the court knows, for diversity purposes, an LLC would be a citizen of the location where its member is. But that test cannot be used for personal jurisdiction because, under Daimler, there's only one place for principal place of business of the company. If the LLC has multiple members, then we'd be looking at more than one place. This is why personal jurisdiction, bases for jurisdiction, and subject matter jurisdiction cannot be mixed together. There is no logic to doing that and carrying that over. And indeed, the Supreme Court in Daimler had the opportunity to do so. They referenced Hertz once in passing, but they did not endorse that for use in purposes of personal jurisdiction. I'll just briefly touch on subject matter jurisdiction. In this instance, as the court knows from both Walden and the Mokey Mac case, there has to be contacts that IGS itself creates with the state, and there has to be a, quote, substantial connection, quote, with the state of Texas on those contacts. Here, there's just one part that transitorily went through the state. Plaintiffs do not allege anything in their cause of action that relates to the shipment of that part. For example, they do not allege that the part was damaged in shipment or anything of that nature. They are using the but-for test, which was explicitly rejected in the Mokey Mac case. That test has no applicability here. The TBS Teca case from the Supreme Court, quote, what is this claim principally concerned with? It's not concerned with how we shipped something. It's concerned with the allegation of how we overhauled something in the state of Colorado. Close, Your Honor, if I could, with a quotation, which I think is instructive, from the Michiana case from our Supreme Court from 2005, where the court said, the Due Process Clause requires that states, quote, do not reach beyond the limits imposed on them and their status as co-equal sovereigns in a federal system. And then the court went on to say, ours is certainly a large state, but we must recognize our own limits and those of our co-equal sovereigns. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
May it please the court. Justice Wallach's decision finding personal jurisdiction over IGS should be affirmed. There are substantial questions of fact that Judge Wallach impliedly decided. Key among them is what role the officers that IGS had and decided to locate in Texas had in the running of the company. I believe counsel was not totally fair in his description of what those officers' roles in the company were. All three of the officers with ultimate decision-making authority for IGS were not located in Colorado. They were located in Texas. Importantly, not a single officer for IGS is located in Colorado. Every single officer that the company chose, they chose to name these people to some important positions, the president, the vice president of sales, the vice president and treasurer are all located in Texas. Not one of those is located in Colorado. Ian Chain, the company president, we started this whole motion practice and now appeal based on Mr. Chain's affidavit. Mr. Chain's affidavit, in his affidavit, he says no one working for IGS works in Texas. Meanwhile, he signed that affidavit saying that no one works in Texas, no work is done in Texas. He signed it in Texas. And that's why, the reason for that is Mr. Chain, the president, the person that they chose to execute the affidavit in this case, works in Texas, controls the company in Texas. If you went on IGS's website the day of this accident, or at least the day that we filed this lawsuit, Mr. Chain is listed as the company president. Customers are directed by their website to contact him if they have any questions in Texas at Dallas Air Motive, where he also works. What's important to understand is how this company's, it was described by counsel as sister companies, how they set up their business. They're both owned by the same parent, and all the officers for the company either work for Dallas Air Motive. For IGS, all the officers for IGS either also work for Dallas Air Motive or BBA, their parent. The payroll's done outside of Colorado. The management is done outside of Colorado. And I think the factual findings that Judge Wallach determined in deciding that the company is subject to jurisdiction in Texas should be given deference by this court. The other issue that I'd like to talk about is IGS is part of Dallas Air Motive's in-house repair network. So anyone who wants to get something repaired, they can send it to Dallas Air Motive. If they need a pump repair, they'll send that from Texas out to Colorado, where the pump will be repaired and returned to Texas. There was a description about how much business our discussion before about how much business IGS does in Texas. The answer is 40% of all of its business is run through Dallas Air Motive in Texas. 45% of all of its business is derived from Texas. This pump, this is not about a shipment of one pump in a box to Texas. This is about a shipment of a defective component that was shipped to Texas. It was installed on a helicopter, and it killed a Texas resident along with several other people. And I think that the question, the one thing I'd suggest the court consider is if this component had been installed on a Texas helicopter rather than Dallas Air Motive shipping it to Tennessee, whether a Dallas or a Texas court would have jurisdiction over it, because IGS knew that it was shipping this pump to Texas. It knew that this pump was being installed in a helicopter. It knew that it was important that this pump not be defective. But they didn't know that Dallas Air Motive, instead of installing it on a Texas pump, would later send it to Tennessee. So I don't think that the fact that this accident happens in Tennessee and by happenstance kills a Texas resident means that Dallas Air Motive should not be subject to Texas, because IGS should be not subject to Texas. IGS created a business, ongoing business relationship. It derives substantial revenue from that business relationship in Texas. The business was shipping components to Dallas Air Motive for installation on helicopters and other aircraft. And this accident came out of that business relationship.
Counsel, was there contested evidence about the statement that you make in your brief on page 8? About the trial court's finding that appellant's principal place of business is where its officers and directors control the company, not where it conducts aircraft component repairs?
I believe there is, Your Honor, and I would point out to a number of things in the record. One is, I mentioned this before, but IGS listed Ian Chain on its website as the president of the company and directed customers to contact him there. That's at the record at 217 to 220. There's a document that identifies Ian Chain, Sean Fallon, and Mark Stubbs as the lead officers. That's at court record 241. There's a affidavit by Beth Dunn, who counsel referenced before, where she says no IGS officer has an office in Colorado. That's at the court record 342. And then the counsel talked about Beth Dunn's testimony, where she testified that all of the officers with ultimate decision-making authority work in Texas. That's at court record 208. That to us is the in my opinion, although the court didn't make findings of fact below, I believe the court was weighing the argument that counsel made before and weighing the actual IGS documents and actual statements by IGS witnesses about the authority of those officers. And I'd also suggest another thing is Ian Chain's affidavit signed in Texas, where he works, where he's the president, where he can be contacted by customs for IGS. I don't think the court took those statements in his affidavit as facts. So there is a dispute of fact, and I believe Judge Wallach got it absolutely right. Your Honor, those are my comments, so unless the panel has any more questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Reply?
Your Honor, with regard to the issue of disputed facts, there are no disputed facts in the record. Therefore, there was no need to make any findings below. There's simply, as we found in many other cases, such as BMC Software, which initially discussed this standard of review process for personal jurisdiction matters, and Moncrief Oil, both of those cases, each side is marshaling facts to their favor. So, for example, Mr. Green points out that at page 217 and 218 of the record, there's a page from the IGS website. On page 218 of the record, it lists Ms. Beth Dunn, who's actually the head of sales in Colorado, as the first person there, and then it lists Mr. Chain as the second person as a contact for IGS. That's not a contest of fact. Those are agreed facts. That is the website. We don't contest. That's correct in the motion papers and in the record. Now each side is marshaling the facts to their advantage. Appellee marshals those facts to show that Mr. Chain, who is a Texas resident, is listed on the IGS website. But that is not a dispute of fact.
So your position that where IGS's nerve center is a legal conclusion that Judge Wallach rightly or wrongly drew from undisputed facts?
Where its principal place of business is for purposes of personal jurisdiction, yes, that is a purely a legal conclusion from facts that are not contested. Likewise, page 241 is simply the sheet that my friend Mr. Green just mentioned. That's just the sheet that I referenced earlier that lists the officers. Again, there's no contest. It's a genuine document of the company, no contest. It lists the eight people as of June 2016. Again, no contest. So as set forth in these cases, again, Moncrief Oil, Bautista, from the Houston Court of Appeals in 2016, all of those cases include each side marshaling the facts in their favor. But in all of three of those cases I've mentioned, BMC Software, Moncrief Oil, and Bautista, the court has no need to pay any deference to anyone. The facts are not contested. Each side just marshals the facts favorable to them. With regard to the issue of these additional contacts with Texas with regard to the sales, the Bristol-Myers case we cite in the reply will not allow the aggregating of these unrelated contacts with Texas that do not relate to this specific pump at issue. You cannot aggregate all of these things, start throwing them together, and then try to expand the basis for jurisdiction. Bristol-Myers, we quoted in the reply brief, says that will not be permitted. And in the Moki Mac case, we have facts that are far more compelling on the specific jurisdiction side than this case would be. So in Moki Mac, you recall, there's direct advertising by the company specifically directed into the state of Texas for its hiking and guided trail adventures. No evidence in the record here that IGS is doing any specific direct marketing or advertising in newspapers in the state of Texas. But still in Moki Mac, even where you have someone where there's a point of sale in Texas to purchase the adventure trip, and there's direct advertising, the court says when we put this together, it's still not enough for specific jurisdiction. So I would urge the court to consider that these other disparate contacts with Texas cannot just be easily lumped together for purposes of either general or specific jurisdiction. Both Bristol-Myers and the Moki Mac case will not permit that. Thank you.
Thank you. Gentlemen, we appreciate your arguments today. They've been very helpful. We are now going to stand in adjournment, and you're free to go about your business. Thank you.